Today's daf is Soita daf Lamed Vav. We are at the two dots, about 15 lines from the top of daf Lamed He Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned. Le'ilui Nishmas Yechiel Yosef Ben Tzvi Betzalel. It's my uncle, Yossi Bornstein. Today's his third yard site. He was from the Ne'imim Bechayeyem Uve Moisem Le'Nefrodu. May today's learning be a schus and an aliyah for his neshama. So we're moving along here in the seventh parak of Masechta Soita, parak Elu Nemarim, which began discussing different halachos that need to be said dafke b'loshon hakodesh, others that can be said b'chol lashon. There were a few digressions. The most notable one is we've been talking in great detail about the events surrounding the Yidden crossing the Yarden, when they entered Eretz Yisrael for the first time, led by Yehoshua ben Nun, the brachas and the klolos that were recited by the Levian, when half of Klal Yisrael was standing on Har Gerizim, the other half of Klal Yisrael were standing on Har Evel. There have been digressions within the digressions. Today's is going to be on Amud Beis, very, very pronounced. Some really well-known classic Divrei Agada. It's the story of Yosef HaTzadik and Ishes Potifar. But first, we're going to continue along with the narrative of the Yidden crossing the Yarden, entering Eretz Yisrael. So one of the mitzvahs that the Yidden had at that time, Hayrasha, was that when you're crossing the Yarden, take 12 Avonim from the Yarden, bring them to the other side, erect a Mizbeach from those Avonim. On the Mizbeach, you should inscribe the Sefer Torah, Be'er Heitev, meaning in 70 languages. So the Gemara is going to talk a little bit more about this. Nimtzas Ata Oimer, says the Braisa. What emerges is, if you do the math, Shloshim Mini Avonim Hoyu. There were three sets of stones where the Torah was written on them. Echad, the first, Shehekim Moshe Be'eretz Moav, were the stones that Moshe Rabbeinu erected in the land of Moed. When did that happen? So that was in the beginning of Mishnah Torah, in the beginning of Parshas Dvar Shenema. The Pasuk says, "Be'ivra Yarden Be'eretz Moav Hoyom Moshe Be'eretz Atayra Hazoyz Lemar." Now, this is at the very, very beginning of Mishnah Torah. There's no mention of stones. What the Pasuk says is that Moshe Rabbeinu recounted the events that took place in the Midbar, and he chazed over all the mitzvahs. Yet, through Teresh of Alpech, Chazal learned that what really happened was, in addition to the drushes that Moshe Rabbeinu was giving, he actually inscribed the Torah, and he inscribed it in stones. How do you know that? Because Ulahalon Uaymer, it says, regarding Yeshua ben Nun, V'kosafto aleim es kol divrei ha-Torah azoiz v'goymer, v'asya ber-ber. And it says the word ber heitev regarding Yeshua ben Nun stones. And it says, hoyo Moshe ber regarding Moshe Rabbeinu teaching the Torah. So we learned that just like over there, it involved stones, so too, regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, it involved stones as well. So the first time that you find this idea that the Torah is going to be written in Avonim is by Moshe Rabbeinu right in the beginning of Sefer Devarim. And again, although it's not Mufurish in the Pasuk, but through a Gzeirah Shava, we learn that that's really what happened. The Echad, the second set, was Shehikim Yeshua B'teich HaYarden. Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua Benun, erected stones in the Yarden itself. How do you know that? Shenemar, it's a Mufurish Pasuk in Sefer Yeshua. It says, Ushteim Esrei Avonim, Heikim Yehoshua B'teich HaYarden, Tachas Matzov Ragle HaKoyhanim, Noisei Arin Abris Fayi Usham Adayim Azeh. So it's pretty straightforward. It's a pasuk that says the Yeshua ben Nun, in the Yarden itself, he was Hakim, he erected these 12 stones. And the third set is the one that we've been talking about. The Echad Shehakim BeGilgal, the one that eventually would end up in Gilgal, Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Ve'ishtem Esrei Avonim, Ho'ela Ashelokhu V'goymer. These were stones that were taken from the Yarden, but not erected in the Yarden like the previous set, but these were actually taken to Har Gerizim and Har Evel, and eventually they went to their final resting place that would be in Gilgal. So the bottom line is, there were three sets of Avonim on which the Torah was written, Be'er Heitev, the first one, Moshe Rabbeinu, the latter two, Yeshua ben Nun. One of the latter two were placed in the Yarden itself, the other went to Har Gerizim and Har Evel, they were dismantled, and eventually they ended up being in Gilgal. Tanu Rabbanan, more on this note. Ketzad Kosvi Yisrael as HaTorah. So when the Yidden wrote the Torah on the Avonim, and we're talking specifically about the third set, the one that was at Har Gerizim and Har Evel, and that eventually went to Gilgal. So the question is, how exactly did the Yidden write the Torah? Now, the reason we're having this conversation is because as we're about to see, there's really a machloikis tanam regarding the nuance, and it's based on how to read two psukim in Parshas Kisavai. So in Parshas Kisavai, it's Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Beis. The Pasuk discusses this commandment that the Yidden had. You're going to come into Eretz Canaan, you're going to have an obligation to erect this Mizbeach and write the Torah on it. So the Pasuk says, V'hoi b'yoy mashe tavru asayardin el oros asher ha-shem al-kechon noisim loch v'aki moisim l'cho avonim gedoilois. You should build these very, very large stones. V'sadato oisam basid. And you should put sid, lime, on the stones. V'kosavto alein is called divrei ha-Torah hazois bavrecho. And you should write on top of the stones the entire Torah. L'man asher tovi el so there's two things that the Yidden have to do with these avonim. Number one, v'sadata oisam basid. Number two, v'kasavta alein as kol divrei ha-Torah hazois. The machloikis tanam was the sequence of events. Did they first plaster it with sid and then afterwards write the Torah on it? Or maybe it happened in the reverse order. That's the question of Ketzah Kosvi Yisrael as ha-Torah. Was it first writing the Torah, then sid? Was it first sid, then writing the Torah? Now, if you read the Psukim, assuming that it's going in the proper order, it says, V'aki moysel lecha avonim gedoilois, v'sadata oisam basid, and then afterwards it says, v'kosavta lein, that's called the Bria Torah Zois. And that is the opinion of some Tanon, but it's not the opinion of all the Tanon. This is the Brice. Rabbi Yehuda says, al gabi avonim kosfu, that when the Yidden wrote the Sefer Torah, they actually wrote it not on Sid, they wrote it directly on the avonim. Shenemer, as the Pasuk says, v'kosavta alo avonim, is called divrei HaTorah Zois. They wrote it directly on the Avonim. It was only afterwards that they put the sin on top of it. Only Reb Shimon said, "Lidvarecha, according to you, it doesn't make sense. The whole purpose of writing the Torah on the Avonim was that the Umay Sa'ilim should see it, be'er heitev, in any language, and they should be able to learn from it. But if they covered what they wrote with sid, so that means it was covered, so they couldn't see it. Amaloi. So Rabbi Yehuda told Rabbi Shimon, it's not a kasha. Bina Yisera Nasabem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Umma Yisraelim a Bina Yisera. Noshim have a Bina Yisera, that concept. So they got a Bina Yisera. V'shigru noitirin lohen. And they knew to send their chachamim to the stones. V'kilfu asasid. They removed the sid. V'heisiyua. And they were able to be matik, the Torah. They were able to read and decipher everything that was there. There's a little bit of a discussion in the Mefarshim what the Bina Yisera was necessary for. Pashup Shad, it sounds like, from the Gemara, and that's what some say, is they needed the Bina Yisera to know that Torah was written on the stones, because it was covered by Sid. So how would you know what was there? So that's where this Bina Yisera came in. Others say that even though they were able to remove the Sid, but it was still murky, it was still a little bit fuzzy, it was very, very unclear. So they needed the Bina Yisera to actually read it. But either way, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim, it required some level of Bina Yisera for them to be able to figure out exactly what was going on. The bottom line is, they were able to figure it out, v'aldover zenit, because of this, that neschatim gzardinam Be'er Shachas. That ultimately the Umay Sa'ilim that weren't Makabal the Torah are going to end up in Be'er Shachas. Why? Shahayulahem Lalamid Veloilam. Meaning, without this, the Umay Sa'ilim could have had a Kaycha Taina. They could have came to the Abish, the Lasa Lavai, and say, had you given us the Torah, we'd have also accepted it. What's the answer? You had an opportunity to learn the Torah. There were these massive stones. The Torah was written on it in 70 languages. Why didn't you read from the Torah? And because of this, that's why they lose their Kaycha Taina. Tois asks Akasha, Al Dover Zeh, it sounds like if not for this, they would have a good taina. No, they wouldn't. Everybody knows it's Gemara, Avodah Zarah, Daf Beis Amud Beis. Before Hashem offered the Torah to the Yidden, Hashem Misinai Ba, Vizarech Miseir Lamai, Vifia Mi Harparan, Zok the Gemara. What's Hashem doing in Seir? Why is he in Harparan? Seir is where Esav was, Harparan is where Yishmael was. It's because he went to all the Umay Sa'olam and he offered them the Torah. So why is it Al Dover Zen Eschatim Gzardin Al Ber Shachas? So Tosma says that it's true the Umay Sa'olam will offer the Torah once. But sometimes somebody offers you an opportunity one time, you turn it down. You have charata, remorse, but this is something that was kavua l'dayrus. This was always staring them in the eye, and they had an opportunity, even at a future date, to rethink it and revisit it, and afal pikin, they didn't. It's al-davar zem, more than the original offer, that it was neschatim Gzardina Lebar Shachs. Rab Shimon was chaylik Rabbi Yehuda. So again, Rabbi Yehuda says that the Torah was written on the Avonim and then it was covered with Sid. Rab Shimon says that's not the way it happened. Rather, Al Gabi Sid Kosfu, it was written on the Sid, the way it's written in the Pasuk. First, Vesadat Oisim Basid, and then afterwards, Vikosaftu. Vikosf Ben Lamata. Then Rab Shimon added a Knech. He said that if you looked at the Avonim, on the bottom of the Avonim, it said, Laman Ashalo Yolamdu Eschem Lasois. Kichol, and the end of the pasuk is Teyavoisam Asha Asul Eloyheim Vichatosim Lashem Eloykechem. So the Torah is written 70 languages, and then on the bottom in bold letters you have this one pasuk that's popping out. Now, what was the purpose of this pasuk? Halomadato, it's coming to teach us, and really them, Shemhoyu Chayzim Betshuva Hoyu Mekablenoisam. And Rashi has a little bit of an arichos to explain this halacha, and that is, we know when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, they had a mitzvah Hachrim Tachrimim. Any member of the seven nations, you have to destroy them. What would be if one of the members of the Ummah Yisrael said, you know something, I want to do tshuva, I want to join Klal Yisrael, I'm in. It wouldn't have helped. We wouldn't have trusted them. We would have assumed it's machmas yira, and as a result, it would not have been okay. But that's only true for the members of the Shivas HaKnanim that were living in Eretz Yisrael. The ones that were living in Chutz Laaretz, it wouldn't have been a problem. Why? Because the whole reason there was a hachrim tachrim and leis achai kol neshama was this pasuk. L'mana shelo yilamdu eschem lasis kechol atoy teyavoisem asher asu leilehem v'chatasem l'ashem elokeichem. Because we were afraid they were going to be a bad influence. So if you're living next door, it's a chashash. But if you're anyways living in chutz laaretz, and then you have nothing to worry about. So this pasuk actually was teaching the Ummah Yisraelim something very important. Specifically people that were from the seven nations. That even though we're not accepting your Geirus, but if you want to move to Chutz Laaretz, or if you're living in Chutz Laaretz, then you're able to join. That's why this pasuk was in bold letters. It was meant for the landsman. It was meant for the people over there. And holamadita, that's this punchline. Shem hayu chayzim b'tshuva, hayu mekablenoisim. But the bottom line is, we have Amchayis, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, just logistically, how these avanim looked. According to Rabbi Yehuda, first, the Torah was written directly on the stones, and on top of that, you had the Sid. According to Rav Shimon, it was Sid, and on top of the Sid, you had the stones. Now, according to Rav Yehuda, the Ummah Yisraelim needed this Bini Yaseir in order to know what was even there, and certainly to be able to read it, because once it's covered with Sid, it's not going to be so clear. According to Rav Shimon, it's just the opposite. If you write something on Sid, it's going to shine, it's going to be very, very nice. And forget, that's the whole Inyan of Vesadat Ha'isam Basid. Plaster with Sid, then write on top of it like this. It's going to be mamish meira seinayim, so the Ummah Yisraelim are going to be able to read it on a whole other level. Zok tigmar omer rava bar sheilo my time the Reb Shimon. What's the makar to Reb Shimon? Because the pasuk says v'hoyu amim misrefoy Sid. The amim are going to burn because of Sid. What does this mean? Al iske Sid. And the way the Mefarshim explain it, that according to Reb Shimon, the Torah was written on top of the Sid. Meaning it was so clear. So that's why when we talk about the punishment that the Ummah Yisraelim are going to have for not accepting the Torah, even though they could have read it, we emphasize the Sid. Because the Sid is the way of saying that it was so clear, it was so clear. Why didn't you learn from the Sid? Reb Shimon held this was a riot to his Shita. Because according to Reb Yehuda, the Sid is not a reason that the Ummah Yisraelim should have read it. To the contrary, the Sid is getting in the way. The Sid is actually making it harder to read. They need a Bini Yaseirah to even decipher Vashtetartin to mish together with the Sid. So Rav Shimon said that from the fact that we mentioned the Sid as part of the Koyach HaTayin and Ummah Yisraelim, that's a raya that it must have been Sid first written on top of the Sid, and that's why we're emphasizing it. Rabbi Yehuda, how's Rabbi Yehuda even going to learn Pshat in this Pasuk? Ki Sid, the Pasuk means something else. That the Amim are going to burn like Sid, meaning Ma Sid, Ein Loi Takom La'Elos Reifo. Part of the process of creating Sid involves fire and involves burning. Af Oysen HaKutim Ein Loi Takom La'Elos Reifo. So to those Kutim are going to require Sreifa. Rashi says they're going to require Gehenim. Actually, an interesting Rashi. If you look at Rashi, it's the second wide line. Shekoz Man She'im Mizgairin Veheim Kriyan Amim Ein Chelkom Elo Misrefois HaSid. That any member of the Ummah Yisraelim who's not Megayir, his chelik is going to be Sid, which is interesting. A member of the Ummah Yisraelim has an obligation to be Megayer. He has an obligation to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach Vadvarim Atikin. Zok the Gemara, one final thought on this note. Come on, also Hadatanya. It's a brayson that says v'shaviso shivyoy. This is in the parish of the Yafas Toyer. The rabbis Kananim shabachutz laaretz shemchayzim v'chubim mekablen oisim. We learn from those words of shaviso shivyoy, which are extra, that if a member of the nations that's living in chutz laaretz wants to be chayzim v'chuva, we would accept it, meaning and thus be included in the parish of Yafas Toyer. So we're familiar with the parish of Yafas Toyer. One of the exceptions to the parish of Yafas Toyer are the members of the seven nations. Why? Because loisachayu kol neshama. There's no Yafas Toyer. It's very clear what you're supposed to do. do. But in the parash of Yifas Torah, there's a riboy, the Shavisa Shevioi, that if someone from the Shiva Umos is living in Chutz Laaretz and wants to be Chayza the Tshuva, now they could be included in the Yifas Torah. Who's that going like? It's going like Reb Shimon, who said in the Braise that on the bottom you had that one pasuk Lamana Shalo Yolamdu, to teach us that even though Loisachai Kol Neshama, but that's only living in Eretz Canaan, now living in Chutz Laaretz. Over there, to the contrary, if you want to do Tshuva, you could be Chayza the Tshuva, or if you want to be Megayer, you could be Megayer. Thus, there's no reason that a Yifas Toya that comes from that world shouldn't be included in the parasha, and that's what Shavisa Shivyoi is coming to be. Either way, this concludes the first portion of the daf. The second portion of the daf is going to continue to discuss the Yidden crossing the Yarden, albeit may inyan le'inya ba'os inyan. So, if you do a cheshvin, you do the math, you'll see there were so many miracles that happened on that day that the Yidden crossed the Yarden. Number one, Avri Yisrael as a Yarden. That's a pretty big miracle, right? Underrated, like we mentioned already, that the sea was split twice. It was split from Moshe Rabbeinu, and then it happened, sort of, again in the times of Yeshua. Ubold Har Gizim al Har Eifel. They arrived at Har Gizim on Har Eifel the day that they crossed the Yarden. Why was it such a chiddush? Because it was Yesem Mishisha Mil. It was more than 60 mil. This is some major Kvitas Haderech. Number three, the Enko Barrier Yechayu Lama Yudefneim. The Yidden was such a powerful force that there was no barrier, no living organism that was able to stand in the way. If anybody tried, Miyat Nitras. Eventually, what happened was they ended up, Mamish, being so scared, Rashi says, Miskalko Meirei. They ended up going to the bathroom. How do you know this? Shenema, it's a pasuk in the Torah. It's in Parshas Mishpatim. The pasuk says, Es a Mosi Ashalach Lefanecha. V'hamoisi es kolo amas shatovi bahem, v'nosati es kolo ivecho elecho oiref. Hashem says very, very clearly that anyone's going to get in your way, they're going to melt. It's going to be over. V'oimer, another pasuk that brings out the same point. We say this in Oz Yosher. Tipo aleyem emosov ofachad, bigdolz reyacha yidmukoven. And the end of the pasuk is, adiavar amcha Hashem, adiavar amzul koniso. So you see that this Indian of tipo aleyem emosov ofachad was when the Yidu were entering the land. So as soon as they entered the land, the Umay Soilam were overwhelmed by the Yidin, and that's this point. Now, the Gemara brings a well-known drasha that you see from this pasuk. It says the word Adyaver twice. Adyaver Amcha Hashem, Adyaver Amzukonisa. So why does it say the word Adyaver twice? Okta Gemara, when it says Adyaver Amcha Hashem, Zubir Rishayin, it's referring to real time, when the Yidin left Mitzrayim, they entered Eretz Yisrael in the times of Yeshua. But no, Adyaver Amzukonisa, the second time it mentions it, Zubir Shniyah, it's referring to when the Yidden entered Rashi in the times of Ezra. Emor Meyatas, you see from here, Ruin HaYisrael, Lassas Lamnes, B'viyah Shnei Kibir Rishayin. Really, the Yidden deserve to have miracles happen for them when they entered Eretz Yisrael the second time, just like they had the first time. Elisha Gar Machet. The reason it didn't happen is because of Averus that they had done at that time. Meaning, we know the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael twice as a nation. The first time was Da'ili Mitzrayim, Yishol Benun. The second time was Da'ili Bava, together with Ezra, but it was very, very different. The first time it was Tipoil Aleyem Emosav Afachad. The first time it was done with incredible miracles. That's the top of this braisa. Boyurei Kamenisim Nasu Boyusei Ayoy. There were incredible miracles that took place when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael for the first time. The second time, it was very, very different. Number one, they needed permission from the government. It was the Persian government, Daryavish, who was the son of Esther and Achashverosh, but they were able to do it only because the United Nations had signed a resolution giving the Yidden permission to do this. Additionally, there were no miracles taking place. It happened old school. And the Gemara says a chiddush that really the second time the Yidden entered Eretz Canaan, it should have been the same way they entered the first time. I know from a drasha, adyavar amyad, adyavar, makish, literally a hekish, birishoina labirishne. What changed? Elishagar machet. It was averus. Now the emphasis is, if you ask somebody, what was the chet? So you would think maybe it was the chatan that had caused Chorban Bayis Rishon. You could hear that. The Yidden had just done major averes. It's for that reason the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. They went to Golas, they got Kapara, but we know it wasn't a complete Kapara. Had it been a complete Kapara, then Bayis Sheni would have looked like Bayis Rishon. We know it didn't look like Bayis Rishon. The Gemara says, Yuma Chaf Aleph, that it was missing five things. Shechina, Arin, Ur V'tumim. A lot of critical things weren't there. So you could hear that maybe that would be the chet, but the Marsha in the Sechtes Yuma Daf Tes Amud Beis says that wasn't the chet. You want to know what the chet was? If you learn the beginning of Sefer Ezra, when the Yidden are given permission to enter the land, since Tzveit and Mol, not a lot of Yidden went. There were 43,000 some odd Jews that decided that they were going to go. Everybody else, felt pretty comfortable in Bavel, and as a result, they said, you know, let's see how it plays out, then, you know, maybe we'll catch them on the rebound. But for now, we're going to stay where we are. And the chet was that the Yidden didn't all go to Eretz Yisrael. There was an opportunity to go, and they decided not to go. And had they gone, Hadvarim Atikin, everything would have looked very, very different. Ayin Shom B'Masha. Either way, so we return to the story of the Yarden. The Achakach Heviyos Havonim. So on that day, they brought stones with them. Uvanos HaMizbeach, they built a Mizbeach. V'sodu Basid. First, they plastered it with Sid. V'kos Falein, it's called the Torah, B'Shivim Loshen. And then they wrote the Torah. Whose Shita was that? Reb Shimon Shita. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Be'er Heitev. V'helu Oilos U'Shlamim, they brought Karbanos. V'achlu V'shasu, they ate, they drank. V'samchu, and it was a big Simcha. U'barchu V'kalalu, do a bracha. And Klawless that we're about to talk more about. Then they took down the stones. And they went and slept in Gilgal. Remember, the pasuk says, you should take the stones with you. You should take it with you in the place that you're going to sleep. I would think that from that point on, anywhere the year that we're going to travel, they were going to take the stones with them. You should put it in the place that you're going to sleep tonight. Okay, and where did they sleep? That night, that's the next pasuk. So we see from there that the Yidden originally erected this Mizbeach by Har Grizim and Har Evel. Then they took it down. When they traveled, they took it with them, but they left it at the first place that they stayed. That first place was Gilgal, and that's where these stones ended up in. Now, we mentioned the pasuk that says, Esei Masi HaShalach Lefanecha, and the purpose of this pasuk is to describe the way that the Yidden entered Canaan. And it was done with tipoil aleihem emosav afachad. Right? That's the theme. And this is something that had already been foretold in Parshas Mishpatim, as that pasuk says, as a mosi ashalach lefonech, that when you're going to cross the land, you're going to see there's going to be a tremendous aima, there's going to be a tremendous fear that's going to be instilled amongst the locals. The next pasuk says, v'shalachti es hatzira lefonecha. Hashem says, I'm going to send the tzira in front of you, the gersha, and the tzira is going to do the following work. It's going to get rid of the chivi, the knani, and the chiti. So what exactly is this tzira? That's this tana. Tzira loy avra iman. The tzira was, it was like a bug, a gnat. It was a yatush. It was this clay, this little creature. And even though the pasuk says, v'shalachti es hatzira lefanecha, however, the Braisna taught that the tzira never really crossed the yard. The Gemara says, that's true. V'loy vaksiv. We just read the pasuk, v'shalachti es hatzira lefanecha. Amrav shim ben lakish, asfas yarden. No, what really happened is, the tzira was at the edge of the yarden, v'zorko behem mara, and it was able to throw long range some poison, the simsa enea milmala, and it went into the members of the nations, milmala, into their eyes, it caused them to go blind, the sirsa son milmata, and then it went into them milmata, and it was misarism. How do you know this? Shenemar, it's based on a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Amos that says, v'onoichi hishmadati as amayir mipnei masha kigoy v'arazim gove v'chosoy nuka aloinim, and the punchline is, v'ashmit piryoy mimal v'sharasha mitachas. I'm going to destroy their peyrois mimal and the sharasha mitachas, and it's referring to the enayim, and it's referring to oisei makim. So even though the pasuk says, v'shalach, the Braisa says, Tzira loy over iman. How do you reconcile it? Simish Lakish said, it's not fair. It was al sfas yarden amda v'zorko behem mara. Rapapa, he said a different teretz. How to reconcile the stira shtei tzrois hava. You have to say there were two different tzrois. Chada, the Moshe, one, Moshe Rabbeinu. V'chada, the Yeshua, the other one from Yeshua. But no, the Moshe loy over. The one from Moshe Rabbeinu, Taka, didn't cross. And that's what that Bryce is referring to when it says Tzira loy avra iman, the Yeshua avra. However, the one from Yeshua did cross, and when the pasuk says in Mishpatim, v'shalachti es hatzira lefanach, it's referring to the Tzira of Yeshua Benon. It's not referring to the Tzira of Moshe Rabbeinu. So this little Gemara talks about this often overlooked secret weapon that the Yidden had when they crossed the Yarden, and this weapon was the Tzira. So I speak it's Kedai to just pause for 1 second and talk about this tzira. So again, what does the pasuk say? It says, "V'shalachti es hatzira lefanecha." This is in Parshas Mishpatim, right? After all the intense sugyas in Parshas Mishpatim, after you learn Bava Kamma and Kedusha and all the sugyas, so then you get to sugya vavadim, the tzira. "V'shalachti es hatzira lefanecha v'gersha." What's the tzira going to do? It's going to throw away from the land the chivi, the knani, and the chiti. So two kashas. Number one, tzira. Okay, we just learned the Gemara. And number two, why only the Chivi, the Knani, and the Chiti? What about all the other nations? There's seven nations, and the Pasuk seems to only mention three. So if you look at the Heiliger Rashi, so Rashi explains exactly what's going on over here. Hatzira, min sheretz oif. It's a sheretz. V'hoysam mako oysam be'ineyem, u'metile bohem eres v'hem mesam. So Rashi's not quoting our Gemara, but Rashi's quoting a Medrash Tanchuma that says, what did it do? It hit them in the eyes. Our Gemara says, it hit them in the eyes, milmala, but it also hit them milmat. Now Rashi is going to quote our Gemara. The tzira never crossed the yardin. Okay. So that chiti and knani, that are two of the seven nations, which are the lands of sichem v'oig, that's me'evra yardin, fichach mikol shiva umois, it's for that reason we mention Chiti and Knani. Because Chiti and Knani are me'evra yardin. And the Tzira was lo'yavra sayardin. So if the Tzira was lo'yavra sayardin, what did the Tzira do? It's going after the nations that are me'evra yardin. Who's me'evra yardin? It's Chiti and Knani. Zok Rashi, that's why we mention Chiti and Knani. But we didn't answer the whole pasuk yet, because it also mentioned the Chivi. Zok Rashi, the Chivi, aval pi shehum me'evra yardin v'holo, even though it's on the other side of the yardin, it's on the Meirv side of the yardin. Shonu Rabbi Seinu b'mesech t'soita dafla mitvav. Al svasa yardin amda v'zorko behem mara. It stood on the svasa yardin and it was able to throw mara. So who did it get? It got the one nation that was literally living ocean front. So who is that? That's the nation of Chivi. And that's why it mentions these three. It's like Letmanai Rashi and Chumash. Once you know this Gemara, it's very, very Gishmak. So who are the nations that the Tzira is going after? It's Chivi, it's Knani, and it's Chiti. The reason it's Knani and the reason it's Chiti is because they're Me'evra Yardin. V'atzira loy Ovres HaYardin. And the reason it's Chivi is because it's Me'evra Yardin Mahal. Now one thing is clear, Rashi is being Mefarish the Gemara the way Rish Lakish explained it in our Gemara. Not the way Rapop explained it, because the way Rapop explained it, there were really two Tzrois. One, Taka was Me'evra Yardin, so that would have taken care of the two nations that were Me'evra Yardin. But there was another one, Yeshua's Tzirah, that did cross the Yardin. And you would have thought that would have knocked everybody else out. So the emes is, the Pasik is Mod Matim, the way Rish Lakish explained it, and that's the way Rashi explains it in Chumash. Just one line in Rabbeinu Bechaya that's worth mentioning. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, why did Hashem choose a tzira? That this is the way that he's going to go after the Umay Sa'olam. Ubalo hidiya pelagodol v'neis nistar. The pasuk is coming to teach us a pelagodol and a neis nistar, which is almost an oxymoron. But a pelagodol and a neis nistar. She'im b'riya chalusha she'bechol ha'nivron. V'hi ha'tzira bo yachros ha'kodosh baruch hu es ha'chazokim she'bechol ha'mekoymos. Hashem is showing that I can take the b'riya chalusha. You want to know what's unique about the Tzira? Because if you were going to plot out the most shvacha bria in the whole world, you would walk away with the Tzira. And Hashem says, I'm going to take down Sichon and Oig, and I'm going to take down these mighty fortified nations, and I am going to literally do it with the bria chalosha. And that's the idea. In fact, Rabbeinu Bechaya says that the reason it was these three of the seven nations that went down with the Tzira, because if you know the rest of the story, of the seven, not all of them were created equally. There was a ranking. And the top three were these three. And because these were the big three, that's why the Eved Dafka used the Tzira to take down these three as opposed to everybody else. What comes to mind? Very obvious. Titus. This is mamish the story of Titus. When Titus comes and he destroys the second base Hamikdash and he talks very, very strongly against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ebishta thinks he can take me down. Yeah, maybe with water, maybe with this, maybe with that. There's no way he's going to be able to do it. So the Gemara says, Yotzes HaBasko. At that point, the Basko came out. V'omrloi Rasha ben Rasha ben Benoy Shal Esav HaRasha. It's one of the places that phrase comes from. Barrier Kali Eshli Boilami. I have a very little barrier. V'yotushama. I might call it Beryakala, etc., etc. Let's see if you can fight a war with the Yatush. And of course, Titus loses the war, and the rest is history. But this Rabbeinu Bechaya shows us that this Yitush, this little creature, this Tzira already goes back to the times of Moshe Rabbeinu and the times of Yeshua ben Nun. It's a Rashi and Chumash. It's a Rabbeinu Bechaya. And it all comes from this Gemara right here. Soita daflam et bava manaf. One more Gemara related to Har Grizim and Har Evel, and then we're going to have Amud Beis, which is the story of Yosef HaTzadik. Shisha, Shvatim, Olulurash, Har Grizim, V'chul. So we're up to the point now. We're actually going to talk a little bit about the brachas on the klalos. Not mamish, but we're getting there. So there's two mountains. There's Har Grizim and Har Evel. Har Grizim is the mountain of bracha. Har Evel is the mountain of Klal. The Yidden are going to be divided now into two groups. Six Shvatim are going to ascend Har Grizim. The other six are going to ascend Har Evel. Now the Pasuk discusses what the formation was. Just to read the Pasuk. Elo yamdu levarech ha'sa'am al Har Grizim. So who are the six on Har Grizim, on the Har of Bracha? Shimon, V'Levi, V'Yehuda, V'Yisachar, V'Yosef, U'Binyam. V'Elu Yamdu Ala Klala Bahar Evel, Ruven God, V'Asher, Uzvulun, Dan, V'Naftali. This is the setup. Now, if you look at the Pasuk, when it discusses that half of the Yidden were going to be on one mountain, and the other half we're going to be on another mountain. Now, this pasuk is in Sefer Yeshua. Right? The pasuk we just read is in the Parashas Vezayis HaBracha, which sets up exactly how it's going to be. But when it taka happened, when it happened of Lamaisa, so the pasuk says, Chetzioi were El Mol Hargrizim, half of the Yidden were on Hargrizim, V'Chetzioi, and the other half was on Harevel. And the Gemara is going to begin this discussion with a diak. What does it mean, ve'hachetzioi, with the hey ayudia? The other half. Half here and half there. Half here and the half. Right? Just grammatically, it seems off. My ve'hachetzioi, Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said as follows. Very important chiddush. He said, kederech shachalukin kan, kachalukin ba'avnei eifoi. This pasuk is coming to teach me something. And it's coming to teach me that we know that the names of the Shvatim were written on the Avnei Eifoi. And yet six of the Shvatim written on one of the Avnei Eifoi, and the other six were written on the other Avnei Eifoi. So in addition to the names written on the Choshen, on the Eifoi itself, there were Avonim, and two, each one had the names of the Shvatim. It was six and six. So the question is, what was the alignment? Meaning, how were the names of the Shvatim divided on the Avnei Eifoi? Says Rav Kahana, this pasuk is the clue. Because we're saying V'hachetzia with the Hei Ayidia, as if to say that this setup of six and six, this division, is something you find somewhere else. Where else do you find it? You find it on the Avnei Eifoi. As if to say, this is the segue, that the way the names were aligned on the Eifoi were exactly the way it were on the two mountains. So you would have Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, and Binyamin on one of the stones, and then you would have Reuven, Gad, the Asher, Zvulun, Dan, and Naphtali on the other. And it's Akasha from a Braisa, and we're going to see in the Braisa two opinions amongst the Tanam of exactly how the names were divided by the Avnei Eifoi, and none of them stem with the Amir Rav Kahana. Kohen Gadol had two precious stones that he wore on his shoulders. Achas mikan, one on one shoulder. Achas mikan, the other one on the other shoulder. And the names of the 12 shvatim were written on these two stones, respectively. Six were written on one stone. Six were written on the other stone. Shenema, how do I know that? It's a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk says, Shisha mishmoison, 11 or achas. The S Shmois Hashisha Hane Sorim Al Ho'evin Hashenis Kiltaldoisam. So you see, six were on one, and six were on the other. Now the pasuk, when it mentions the second stone and the six names that were on it, adds one interesting word. It says it was Kiltaldoisam. So what does that mean? So the first Tanya in this brisa says that you learn from here Shnia Kiltaldoisam. The setup and the order of the second stone was Kitol Doisa, was in the order that these Shvatim had been born. But the first stone was not. Why? Mipnei, because on the first stone, the first name mentioned was Yehuda, and Yehuda's Muktim. And Yehuda's not the first that was born, he's the fourth that was born. Hapamoides Hashem, because Leah got more than she thought she was going to get. And as a result, that's the way it was. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi tells us exactly how this played out. The second stone that was Kitol Doisa was in the order of that, the way they were born. It was God, Asher, Yisachar, Zvulun, Yosef, Ubinyam. That's the way they were born. The Shnisha Rishonim, Nichtavuba, they were written Yehuda first, and then afterwards, Kitol Doisam. Ruvain, Shimon, Levi, Don, and Naftali, Kiseid, Leidosam, Chutz, Mi Yehuda. But the bottom line is, the second one is Kitol Doisam, not the first. Why? Not because it's one big mishmash. Because Yehuda, who's fourth, is one. That's the only one that's Shaloi Kitol Doisam. But the bottom line is, this is the Seder. The Brisa continues, it says, V'chamisha Oisiyas Hayo. There were 50 letters, if you take all the names of the Shvatim combined, and it was Esrim V'chamish Alevin Zu, 25 on one, the Esrim V'chamish Alevin Zu, 25 on the other. That's the first. Gamliel says a different shita. He says, "Why kederech shachalukim b'chaymesh apikudim, chalukim ba'avnei eifoi." So, chaydesh apikudim, which is of course Sefer Bamidbar. So, right in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, Hashem counts the Bnei Yisrael, and He mentions the 12 shvatim. So, Rab Chanina ben Gamliel said it could have been a havamina that maybe the order of the Avnei Eifoi would have been the order in which those 12 shvatim are listed. Now, there you don't have two groups. It's 12 in succession. But you could have thought the first six were the first stone and the second six were the second stone. So he said, no. It's not really chalukim. But not in the way that they're counted in Chaymesh HaPikudim. Is the way they were chalukim. That really was chalukim. The way they're counted in the second chaymesh, that's Sefer Shemois, right? In the beginning of Parsha Shemois, the Yidden are counted. It's over there that was the Seder of how it was. Now, how are they counted in the beginning of Parsha Shemois? The Rashi says, Ruvain, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun. And then it says, Binyamin, Don, Naphtali, God, Asher, Yosef. And if that's the case, says Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, Ketzad, how did it play itself out on the Avnei Ephod, Bnei Leia, Kisidron? The Bnei Leia were Kisidron. Ruvain, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun. Those are Leia's six sons, and they were 100% Kisidron. As it relates to the other stone, Bnei Rachel, it started with the Bnei Rachel, and it ended with the Bnei Rachel. Echad Mikan, the Echad Mikan, because first it's Binyamin, who's one of the Bnei Rachel, and then it's Yosef, Bnei Shvachis, Be'emtza, and the names of the Shvachis were in between. That's where Reb Chanina ben Gamliel had it. I'll call upon him two shitos in this brisa of exactly what the seder was of the names of the 12 shvatim, shisha mikan, the shisha mikan, on the avnei ephod. Now, the way that the first Tana explained it, it was kitol doisam, right? Shnia kitol doisam, which was the diak in the pasuk itself. The Rishayna was almost Kitol Daisim, with the exception of Yehuda. The way Reb Chanina ben Gamliel has it, it doesn't seem to be Kitol Daisim. Certainly, Shnia is not Kitol Daisim. The first one actually is Kitol Daisim. But the second one's not Kitol Daisim, and the Kitol Daisim in the Pasuk is on the second one. So the question is, where does the Kitol Daisim play itself out? The diktok is that the way the names were written is the way that they were referred to by their father, as opposed to the way Moshe Rabbeinu refers to the Shvatim. What does this even mean? Ruvain. Yaakov Avinu referred to his son, Ruvain. V'loi Ruvaini. You find in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu says, L'mishpachas ha-Ruvaini. Shimin, v'loi Shemoini. Don, v'loi Hadoni. God, v'loi Hagodi. But what's the bottom line? Why did we bring this all in? We brought this all in because Rav Kahana started off, and he said that the same exact Seder that they had in our Gizim and our Eva was the Seder they had on the two Avnei Ephod. Here we have a Braisa, where the Braisa mentions two Shitas, a Tana Kama and Rav Chanina ben Gamliel, both of which are not Rav Kahana, and if that's the case, it's a Pella, how the Rav Kahana, the Amora, could be Chaylik on two Tanoim, and the Gemara says, very good question, in fact, Tiufta, the Rav Kahana, Tiufta, Zok, the Gemara, V'elomai, V'hachetzi, Rav Kahana had a Makarta Hishita, he felt that the Dik of the Hachetzioi, that's mentioned in Sefer Yeshua, when we talk about the Chetzioi that were in Har Eivol, it sounds like this is like a Chetzioi that we know from somewhere else. The Chetzioi with the Hei Ayidiyah. Remember that Chetzioi? This is the same Chetzioi. Where is that other Chetzioi? If it's the Avnei Eifod, I understand. But what then is the Vachetzioi Tana? So we know this already from a Braisa that addressed this question. Chetzioi Shel Mul Har Grizen Meruba Mi Chetzioi Shel Har Eivol. The reason we refer to the Chetzioi in Har Eivol as Hachetzioi, because there was a little bit less. So usually, the Hei Ayidiyah builds it up. But over here, it just means it was a unique Chatzi, and the reason it was unique was there were less Yidin standing on Her Evil that was standing on Har Grizim, and the reason is, Mipnei Shesh Levi Lamata, because Shevet Levi was Lamata, and being that Shevet Levi was Lamata, so therefore there are less on Har Evil. Now just to be clear, when we say Shevet Levi was Lamata, we know that already. The Leviim were on the bottom. We saw it in the Mishnah, surrounded by this and surrounded by that. Right, so we know the Levi and Malamat, but Levi is also one of the 12 Shvatim. They're also Lamaila. So Rashi says that you have to say it was the Elter Yidin, the Shiny Yidin of Levi, they were Lamata, but the Pirchei HaLeviim, they were really Lamata. But there's another problem. This the Gemara is going to ask. And that is, where was Shevet Levi? On which one of the two mountains? If you look back, Shevet Levi was on the Har Brocha. They were on Har Grizim. So if that's the case, so you're telling me that HaChetzioi is Har Evo. Why? It's unique. What makes it unique? It's less. Why? Because Shevet Levi is Lamata. If Shevet Levi is Lamata, then Har Grizim should be less. Why is Har Evo less? Freik de Gemara, because of Shevet Levi, Adarabo, Mepnesha Levi Lamata Batsri Lohu, it should be just the opposite, meaning Har Grizim should be the one that's less. So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamar, you have to say, Afa Pisha Levi Lamata B'nei Yosef Imoi. Here comes the digression. What we mean to say is that even though Shevet Levi was Limata, and Shevet Levi was from Har Gerizim, but still Har Gerizim had more, and the reason Har Gerizim had more is because Har Gerizim had Shevet Yosef, and Shevet Yosef, there were so many members of this Shevet that it made up the difference. Shenema, now how do you know that there's so many members of Shevet Yosef? Because the Pasuk says, Vayidabru b'nei Yosef es Yoshua leimor. The b'nei Yosef come to the Yoshua and they tell him, Madu anasata li nachlo goyru lechod, v'chaval echod, v'ani amrav. He says, we have so many members, we have such a thriving mishpacha k'nai nahar, I mean, that's the punchline, k'nai nahar, and why are you giving this to us? Vayimra aleim, Yeshua told him, if you really have such a Meirdiganishim, I would hide. I wouldn't talk about it. I would run to the forest. Amalehem, he told them, go hide in the forest. It's like this, there should be no Ayin Har that's going to get the better of you. Amalehem, they told Yeshua, Shevet Yosef, don't you know? And Shevet Yosef, Ayin Har is not Shailet. The Pasuk says, Ben Pyrus, Yosef, Ben Pyrus, Aliyoyin. That Yosef goes on top of the Ayin. So even if there's an Ayin Ra, but Yosef is able to be Shailen on top. Rabbi Yosef Bechanina Mnei Hacha. Rabbi Yosef Bechanina learned it from somewhere else. V'yidgul Aroi Bekerav Aretz. This is the bracha that Yaakov Avinu gives Ephraim and Menashe. V'yidgul Aroi Bekerav Aretz. Teshevet Yosef. Amat Angel Shabiyah. Mayim Chasen Alem. V'ein Ayin Shalat Espem. Just like the fish. They're covered by water, meaning the ayin can't be shoiled even if it tries. Av zari shal Yosef, ein ha ayin shoiletis behem. So they told Yeshua, but no, we have nothing to worry about. But the bottom line is, what do you see from here? You see from here that Shevet Yosef had so many members, and that's the point of the braisa. Har Evel is less, and even though part of Shevet Levi that's on Har Gerizim is at Lamata, but they also have Shevet Yosef that makes it up, and that's the whole point over here of having the Vehachetzi. Incidentally, the Sfarim ask that the descendants of Yosef come to Yeshua Benun and they tell him, you know, we have a problem. You gave us just regular land. You know, we have such a nice mishpacha. We need to do a lot better than that. And Yeshua Benun says, listen to me, if you have a nice mishpacha, go hide in the forest and don't talk about it. So what's their response? Anom Mizar de Yosef Kosina. We have a Messiah. We know the Loishota Be'ena. What Shevet did Yeshua Benun come from? Yeshua Benun came from Ephraim. It means he was also from Shevet Yosef. Yeshua Benun didn't know this. It's a stark kasha. Either way, talk to Gemara Vayta. Something to think about. Hani chamishim oisiyos. So the Braisa said that if you look at the Avnei Eifoid, so there were 50 oisiyos, 25 on one of the stones and 25 on the other stone. Right, the Gemara, if you do the math, if you count up all the names of the Shvatim, chamishim nechi chadahavi, and it's actually only 49. Now, the truth is, we've talked about rounding off numbers. 25 on one, 25 on two. You can't round this number off. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak said, Yosef hoisifu lo yosachas. Yosef had one extra oish. And Emma, the Pasuk says, Eidus bi Yosef somoy betzeisay al eretz Mitzrayim. His name was Yosef. And over here, he's referred to with the hey. Yeah, Yosef must be at an extra hey. And it's Yosef that was written on the Avnei Eifoid. It wasn't Yosef, but it said Yosef. Maskev l'Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, kid told Yosef be'inon. It says kid told Yosef by the Avnei Eifoid. So it sounds like he has to have the name that he was given at childbirth. If later there was a Misha Berich and they added a letter, it's l'chayre. Not Kittol Doisim, and as a result, it doesn't sound like that was the name that was written on the Eifoid. Elo. So the Gemara says a different Torah. It's Kol HaTorah Kulu Binyamin Ksiv. If you look throughout the Torah, the name Binyamin is written Chaser, one Yud. But there's no Yud between the Mem and the Endanun. V'hacha Binyamin with a Yud, Shalem. Tidachsiv Aviv Karoloi Binyamin, and Binyamin was written Mole, and because Binyamin was written Mole, that's the Kittol Doisim, the Aviv Karoloi Binyamin, and therefore you end up with 50 Oisias. 25 here and 25 there. Zok de Gemara. Amrav Chanabar Bizna, Amrav Shimon Chasid. Every Gemara from here until the end of the Amun is classic. Yosef, Shekidah Shem Shemayim Beseser. Yosef Atzadik, who is Mekadish Shem Shemayim Beseser. Hoisifu loy oisachas mishmoy shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He got a matana. His matana was that an extra letter was added to his name, but not just any letter. One of the Shemes Havaya. One of the letters of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yehuda, Shekidah Shem Shemayim Befarhesio. Yehuda, who was Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, but not Beseser, he did it before. Hefzi and Nikra Kulay al Shmoy Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His whole name is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because in the name Yehuda, you have the whole Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Zok Gemara, Yosef Mayhi. What's this Indian that you find that Yosef HaTzadik was Mekadosh Shem Shemayim Beseser? The Chassid the Pasuk says, Vahi Kayoim Azeh, Vayovoy HaBoiso, Lasois Malachtoi. So everybody knows the context. The context is that Yosef HaTzadik was sold into slavery and he's working in the house of Potiphar. Potiphar's wife, infamously known as Eshes Potiphar, was trying to be mezana with Yosef, because Yosef HaTzadik was given the nesayin of being a yefei toyer and yefei mara, and as a result, she very much wanted to engage in gilui arayos with him. And as much as she would push and fight, Yosef HaTzadik was miskaber, and he held back. The pasuk says, "Vayika yom hazeh." It was one day. Vayhi is a lashon tzar. Vayovei habaisa lasis malachtoi. Yosef HaTzadik goes into the house where he worked. Lasis malachtoi. The ein ish manchei habayisham, and there was nobody there. Babayis, and vatis peseo bebigdoi. The pasuk says, "Eishes Potiphar was there. She chaps his baget. Lema shichvel imi." I want to do an aveira with you. Vayazay bigdoy. Yosef HaTzadik just let his beged go. Biyada, left it in her hand. Vayonos, he ran. Vayetze achutza. She goes and says that this young Jewish slave started up with me. Vaharaya, I have his beged in my hand. He ends up being put into the Beis HaAsurim. And of course, the rest is history. Says the Gemara that the pasuk that recounts Mamish, this last chapter of the story of Eishes Potiphar begins. Vayikayem hazeh, vayovei habayis olasas malachta. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, it's a malamit sheshem ledvar venus chatan. You see from here that Sai Yosef and Sai Eishes Potiphar both on that day intended on doing an aver. Eishes Potiphar, of course, but even Yosef HaTzadik was planning on doing an aver. How do you know that? Because the Posnik says that Yosef HaTzadik went lasos malachtoi, and the way Rabbi Yochanan understood the Posnik is lasis malachta, meaning to do an aver. In fact, the Gemara says, "Vayovei abayis las malachta." Rabban Shmuel, it was a machlokes. Rabban Shmuel, what malachta? It's Chadam once said lasis malachta mamish. That literally was going to do his malacha, meaning he was an arbiter. He was going to work. The Chadam, the other says lasis tzracha. Rashi tashmish. He was going to do an aver. Nichnas the pas nichnas. Ve'in ishmei anchei abayis. The pasuk says there was nobody there. Efsher. Fake the Gemara. Abayis called the kibetzer shaloisei rosh lohei bayish. This is a massive house. It's a mansion. There's nobody there. Tana. The Rabbi Shmuel. Oisei yem yem chagin haya. This was the chaga of the Umay Yisrael. V'hochu kulam the base of Avodah Zarah shalem. And everybody went to the base of Avodah Zarah. So there was nobody around. Ve'hi amro lahen chay lahi. So she played hooky. She made believe that she wasn't well. Amra, she said, there's no day that Yosef HaTzadik is going to be more vulnerable than today, because nobody is around. This is the perfect day. Yosef HaTzadik was mamish. The aver was about to happen. And at that second, Basud Yuknei Shalaviv, the Yukin, the image of his father, appeared by the window. Amaloi. And he talked to Yosef. He said, Yosef, you know that one day your brothers are going to be written on the Avnei Eifei, the Ata Beineyem, and you're supposed to be there too. If you want to do this Aveira, just understand the ramifications. The invoice you're going to have to pay. Your name is going to be erased from that Inyan. And you're going to end up being called a Roya Zoynos. The Roya Zoynos, Yaved Oyen. He loses hoin, and this is the hoin that you're going to lose. Miyad, immediately. As soon as Yosef HaTzadik saw Tumus Yuknei Shalaviv, the pasuk says, Vateshev Be'esan Kashtoi. What does this mean? Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rameir, Sheshova Kashtoi Le'esonoi. Rashi says it's referring to the Shechva Zera, that's Yoyre Kecheitz. So it returned. How did he manage to be able to do that? How was he able to be Miskaber? So the next words in the pasuk say, these are Psukim and Parashas Vayechi, Vayofoizu Zroye Yodov, Noatz Yodov Bekarka. He stuck his fingers into the ground. The Yotzo Shichva Zare Mibein Tziporne Yodov, and the Shichva Zare ended up leaving his body, but it left his body through his fingernails. The pasuk continues and says, Midei Aver Yaakov. What does that mean? Mi Gorim Loi Sheyichokek Al Avnei Eifoy. What caused that his name should be engraved in the Avnei Eifoy? Ella Aver Yaakov. It was Aver Yaakov. It was his father. His father appearing. This is what saved him. The pasuk concludes and says, "Misham roya even Yisrael, misham zocha v'naser roya." It's from there that he was zoicha and he became a roya, became a shepherd for the Yidden. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Roya Yisrael hazina noye katzoin Yosef Yosef hakruvim hoyfia." That it's Yosef was zoicha to be a roya tzoin. He would not have been zoicha to this were he not speared this temptation, the story of Eishes Potiphar. And it's because of Avri Yaakov, his father Yaakov, that came to save him, that everything worked out the way it worked out. We're going to stop the daf portion of today's daf abruptly. We're still in the middle of the story, but it got late early, and we have some raid to get to. So just two ha'aris, and then Metz Hashem will be mamshuch tomorrow, as it relates to the story of Yosef HaTzadik and Eshes Potiphar. So the Gemara began by saying, Yosef Shekideh Shem Shamayim B'Seser Hoisifu Loi Ois Achas Mishmoy Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yosef HaTzadik, that was Mekadosh Shem Shamayim B'Seser, he was Zoicha that there was a letter that was added to his name, not just any letter, but one of the Ois Yosef Shmoy Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the letter He, Yud Ke Vav Ke, that's the letter that was added to Yosef HaTzadik's name, and that's why you find in Tehillim, Eitos Beye Hoisef, it's referring to Yosef HaTzadik. And Yosef HaTzadik here has an extra Oisei. And why did he get this? Because he was Mekadosh Shem Shamayim B'Seser. And where do you find that Yosef HaTzadik was Mekadosh Shem Shamayim B'Seser? It's the story of Eshes Potiphar. Poshet, the way you learn this Gemara is that Yosef HaTzadik did an unbelievable thing. And because of that, he got a matana. What was the matana? They added one letter to his name. And adding a letter to your name, especially one of the oisiyas of Shmoy Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a matana. Yesterday we spoke about Yeshua Ben Nun, how Yeshua Ben Nun lost the letter Hey and the Gemara in Erechin, Daf Lamed Beis, Samed Beis, and the Lulei de Mistafin of the Chsam Sofer, that he lost the letter Yud in the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Samach Gimel Amir Aleph. So there's a concept of losing a letter and gaining a letter, and that's Poshup Shat, the way you would learn this Gemara. But if you look in the Marshan, this Gemara, Toich Dvarov, there's a Diktuk Nifla, I think, in what the Marsha is saying. The Marsha says as follows, Upirish hakasuv kach, Eidus bi Yehoisei, v'goymer, Shem shelka. Yosef HaTzadik got the letter Hey. It's not the pshat that he got an extra letter. Wow, we just added a letter to your name. Amazing. That's not the punchline. The punchline is that Yosef's name went from being Yosef to Yehoisef, which means that Yosef HaTzadik now has the name Yud and then letter Hey inside, which is Shmoy Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what's the significance of the Shem Ka? Shehu Eidus Li Yisrael Begeder Erva. Because we know the Shem Ka is Eidus Li Yisrael. K'moy Sheksiv Shiftei Ka Eidus Li Yisrael. And this inu was Niskayim Be Yosef. She Nitoisef Loi Hei Be Yehoisef Shmoy Hu Shem Ka. Rashi says in Parashas Pinchas that you find that the Shvatim, when they're counted, are referred to, we had this earlier on the Amid, Haruveni, Hashemoini, Hadoni, Hagadi. I thought it was God. Hagadi, there's a hey on one side, there's a yud on the other side. And Rashi says, because the Ummah is Oilam attaining that the Yidden are counting their yichas. You think you're from Shevet Ruven, you think you're from Shevet Zvulun, Agalachter. And what was the Taina Rashi says? The Taina was that Madach the Ummah is Oilam and Madach the Mitzrim, they were shoylet in your money. You have a Havamina, they weren't shoylet in the Noshim. So you really, really think that you can trace your Yichas by people walked around saying, oh yeah, I come from Shevet, you don't come from Shevet God, you come from a Mitzri. That's what they were tiny. Is there a Havamina they weren't Ma'anis, the Nisho saying? And that's why the Torah was made, that there was no Erva, there was no Gilei Arayas, there was no Zus that penetrated Klal Yisrael. And how do you know that? Because it's Haruveni, it's the Shem Ka. It's the Shiftei Ka Eidus Liyisrael. What's the Eidus? The Eidus is that there was no, incidentally, what's Takiv Shat? So that's the Chassam Sofer that we spoke at earlier in the Masech, the Vayakutsu Mipnei Bnei Yisrael. That was the Shmir El Yoinu. Vayakutsu Mipnei Bnei Yisrael. The Chassam Sofer said is what saved Klal Yisrael. That Pasuk is what saved the Yidden. And that was the Teretz Nehak Kal V'Chaymer. We spoke a little bit that the Svarim HaKadoshim say that Pari was able to be Shoylet on the Scharim of the Yidden, but he wasn't able to be Shoylet on the Nekevis. That's the side of Kalabas Techayun, because he had no shlita on the banos. And even in a ruchniyistig sense, he didn't have shlita on the banos. That's why it was Bischar Noshim Tzidkanius, that it was Nigalu Avisena B'Mitzrayim, Dvarim Niflon. But the bottom line is, the Shem Ka is Shiftei Ka Eidos L'Yisrael. Yosef HaTzadik was a skabron, this Nesoyin of Gilei Arayis. So what was he Zoychetu? He wasn't just Zoychetu Ahei, says the Marsha. He was Zoychetu Shiftei Ka Eidos L'Yisrael. His name will have in it etched in stone forever that he's a person that was miscabbering the Nisoyin of Arayis. He was Zoycha, that his name is not Yosef, it's Yehoisef. It's according to one man, it's in the Avnei Eifoid. Mida Keneged Mida. He was going to lose the Avnei Eifoid. He doesn't lose the Avnei Eifoid. In the Avnei Eifoid, he has the Eidos of Ka. Eidos be Yehoisef. He's Zoycha to this Inyan. That Eidos Yisrael that he carries around in his name, that he was able to be miscabber on this Nisoyin. The Rambam in Hilchas Yisoy Dei HaTorah, this is in Perikei Halacha Yod. The Rambam says as follows: V'chein kol ha-poyresh me'aveira, any person that's poyresh from an aveira, oyasa mitzvah, he does a mitzvah, loy mipnei dover ba'olam, for no ulterior reason, meaning loy pachad, he wasn't afraid of anybody, v'loy yira, v'loy levakish kovid, elo mipnei ha-boyrei baruchu. A person has an opportunity to do an aveir and he doesn't do it. And not for an ulterior reason. There's one reason and one reason only. Because he believes in the Eibishter and he believes that this is not what Hashem wants him to do. And he's able to be mezgabe and overcome on an nisayon. Kim minias Yosef atzadik atzmei me'ishtes rabbi. Dover nifla. L'shoyni azov shal harama. Like Yosef atzadik did. When he was able to hold himself back from Eishes Rabbi, Hareza Mekadesh as Hashem. If a person does that, he's Mekadesh as Hashem. It's a Lashon HaRambam. Demis is the Makar to this Rambam that a person that holds himself back from doing an Aveir is our Gemara. Gemara says, Yosef, Shekidei Shem Shamayim B'Seisar. And that's the Mashal that the Rambam brings. So he means Yosef HaTzadik. And the Lashon is, he was Kidei Shem Shamayim. So the Rambam brings it as a Halacha in his Yad Chazaka. Hilchus Yisoy De'atar Perikei Halacha Yud, Hareza Mekadesh as Hashem. That's Pasha. But I'll tell you a Dover Nifla. Last week's Parsha was Parsha's Kedoshim. And this is Mamash Nifla. Parsha's Kedoshim begins, Vayidaber Hashem al-Moshe Lehmer. Daber al-Kol adas b'nei Yisrael v'yamart al-Lehem. Kedoshim tiyu ki kodosh ani Hashem al-Kechem. So what does Kedoshim tiyu mean? Everyone knows what Kedoshim tiyu means. Everyone knows Rashi and everyone knows Ramban. Rashi says Kedoshim tiyu means Hevu Prushim in Arayas. She says, also a minavera, but he singles out arayas, which means that Kedoshim Tiyu primarily, be'ikr means binyane arayas. The Ramban says that you see from Kedoshim Tiyu that a person is not just supposed to be careful, but a person has to be kadesh atzmecha b'mutalach, don't be a novel b'shos ha'tayr. Everyone heard this shmuz in yeshiva 100 times. So everyone knows the concept of Kedoshim Tiyu. The Archaim HaKadosh, in his pirush on this pasuk, he brings, in his own words, the yisoid that the Ramban says. But then he says that I think there's another pshat in Kedoshim Tiyu. Oid yirtze, al derech oimram za. The Gemara says in Kedushin daf lametes on the days, Yoshev, odom v'leyover aveiro, if a person is sitting and he doesn't do an aveiro, noisna loischar ka'isa mitzvah. He's going to get rewarded as if he did a mitzvah. Now the Gemara says, really? So any person that's sitting around, because he's not doing an aveiro at this second, he's going to get schar as if he did a mitzvah? So the Gemara says, no, it's talking about someone that has an opportunity to do an aveiro. He has a taiva to do an aveira. There's a shtikl yetzahara going on right here. And he controls himself. And he doesn't do the aveira. Nois nevoi schar ka'isa mitzvah. Says Darachayim HaKadosh, v'hu maimer akosiv kedoshim tiyu b'mitzvah saseh. What's this mitzvah that the Gemara is referring to? Nois nevoi schar ka'isa mitzvah. It's not a melitza. Must be he's doing a mitzvah. What is the mitzvah? Which one of the Tayyag mitzvahs is he observing right? He's not putting on tefillin. What's he doing exactly? Says the Arachayim HaKadosh, what he's being mekayim is the mitzvahs I say of Kedoshim Tiyu. And in Kedoshim Tiyu state, quote, Bevo Avera Liyodai, if a person has an opportunity to do an Avera, Kedoshim Tiyu, She Yisrachik Ma'asoysam, overcome the Yetzahara and don't do the Avera. Ubazeh, and by doing this, Kiyay mitzvahs asay Shen Itztave B'maymer Kedoshim Tiyu. Says the Arachayim HaKadosh. So the yisoid of Kedoshim Tiyu is what? What is the mitzvah? The mitzvah is you have an opportunity to do an aveir, control your yetzahara, don't do the aveir. So why then does the Torah refer to this mitzvah as Kedoshim Tiyu? Just tell me what you want to tell me. There should be a mitzvah in the Torah that says, if you have an opportunity to do an aveir, don't do the aveir, and you should know it's going to be a mitzvah, it'll be one of the mitzvahs I say, you'll have a chinuch on it, you'll have a mitzvah's chinuch on it, a minchas chinuch on it, like this. You'll know everything you're supposed to know. Why this funny phrase of Kedoshim Tiyu? It says, Darachayim, V'hoitzi zichre mitzvazu b'loshen zeshol kedosh. The Torah mentioned this mitzvah in the Loshen of Kedoshim Loimar. Shekola mekayim mitzvazu. Any person that's mekayim this mitzvah. The mitzvah of, I have an opportunity to do an aveira and I'm going to overcome a yetzara. I'm not going to do the aveira. Nikra kodesh. That person's called a kodesh. V'hu ma'morim zal. It's v'yikra rabban. It's Yerushalmi and Yevamis. Says Darachayim, Uletam ze dikte gloimar. It's for that reason the pasuk says, before it mentions the mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu, Daber al kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Why doesn't it say Daber al kol adas b'nei Yisrael? Loimar. Ki mitzvah zu she mitzvah Kedoshim Tiyu, that this mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu, he mitzvah she yeshna b'chol ha'odom. You should know it's negay everybody. She kol ish Yisrael b'kayim my mitzvah zu, any year that's mekayim this mitzvah, kadosh yeyomer loy, is going to be a kadosh. The ein hadraga b'Yisrael shetia nimnas me'asogazu. And there's no madregan klal Yisrael. There's no year that could say, I have no shaychus to this, because this is an inyan of kedusha. That's what the Torah is coming to be mafkir. Torah is coming to tell that guy, you think I have no shaychus kadoshim to you. It's not true. If you find yourself in a matzav where you have an yetzahar, you have an assign to do an aveira, and you don't do it, you're being a mekayim a mitzvah, but not just a mitzvah that's called kedoshim to you, which means you're being zoicha to a toisefes kedusha. That's what you're getting right now. It's kedoshim to you. There's no one that's excluded, and that's the akdama dabrel kol adas b'nei Yisrael v'yamartalem kedoshim to you. The Rechaim Kodesh Firas Ois, he says, if that's the case, the mitzvah of kedoshim to you really has two connotations, right? There's the fire and brimstone musa shmuz of kedoshim to you, novel b'shuz atayra, kadesh atzmacha b'mutalach, and then there's a chizik noira that comes from kedoshim to you, that it doesn't matter who you are, darga doesn't matter, rank and file plays no role in this, that if you have an opportunity to do an Aveira and you control yourself from doing the Aveira, Kedoshim Tiyu, you're going to be Zoicha to Kedusha. So it says, Darach Chaim HaKadosh. That's why, if you look at the Pasuk starts off, Daber El Kol HaBadas B'nei Yisrael, and then it says, V'yomarta Alehem. We know Daber V'yadaber is always a Lashon Kasha, and Amira is always a Lashon Raka, because in Kedoshim Tiyu, Lik Shtarka Toichacha, it's Dabra Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael, but there's also a Mira Racha, this tremendous chizik, this tremendous nechama that you have in the pasuk of Kedoshim Tiyu. There's Dabra Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael on the one hand, and then there's Yomart Aleim Kedoshim Tiyu that you find on the other hand. And that's this Inyan, says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh of Kedoshim Tiyu. But the point is that a person that has an opportunity to do an Aveira, and he doesn't do the Aveira, he's Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. It's brought down in the Rambam in Hilchos Yisoy De'Atayra. The Mekoyres Memar Gemar. And what's he Zoicha to? He's Mekayim the Mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu, Zokta Rechayim HaKadosh. What was Yosef HaTzadik's reward? He was Zoicha that the Shem Yud Kei is Shoyre Mamish inside his name. He was Zoicha to this incredible Madreig of Kedusha, one of the Oisiyas of Shemot Shalak Kadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Marashno says, not just the Ois Hei, but right now he has in him the Shem Ka. That's the Matana, that's the Schar. That's what Yosef HaTzadik was Zoicha to, just to have a little bit of a deeper appreciation of what's going on in this Gemara. We should really stop here, but we'll just speak out one more honor. And that is, so the Gemara says that Yosef HaTzadik every day, Eishes Poitifar, is trying to get Yosef HaTzadik to do an Avera, and then finally one day, Vayova Yosef HaBaisa Lassis Malachta. He goes and Lassis Malachta. Now he's gonna do the Avera. And Rabbi Yochanan said, now what does it mean? Literally, he was gonna be Nichshol. Rabban Shmuel, Chadam HaMalachta Mamish. The other one said that no. But the point is that there's a day in the Gemara, it's Rabbi Yochanan, and it's either Ravin or Shmuel that holds that Yosef HaTzadik was mamish about to do the Aveira. And there's two kashas you have to ask. The first kash is, Nechtesa. Why would Chazal say that? The Pasuk says Yosef HaTzadik is going lasis malachta. Malachta is a very, very vague term. It could be he's just going to do his geshaft. Which, by the way, either Rav and Shmuel, incidentally, Rabbi Ruvim Margolis and Shem Oilam believes Rav is the one that holds Malachta and Mamish, but we're going to leave this raid bite on the table. But the point is that it's either Rav and Shmuel said Malachta and Mamish. So Mehecha Teis, why would we choshe b'ksheirim? Like, why do we have a right to be choshe Yosef HaTzadik? That's what he's doing. So if you look at the Svarim all say that the Hezbah Advarim is because Yosef HaTzadik knew that that day was really the day of where the Yoy Neidon, meaning he knew nobody was going to be home. The cheshbon that Eishes Poitifar made, Yosef HaTzadik L'chayre, also should have made, and most likely did make. So if Yosef HaTzadik knew what Eishes Poitifar knew, that there's no day that's more mesugel to do this Aveira than today, so why is Yosef HaTzadik going back? Lazis Malachta here, but why are you going? Don't you understand that today is such a dangerous day, it's such a day of Sakon? Balkarchach, he went lasis malachtoi, lasis tzrocha. He was going to actually engage in the Aveir. That's the Chayyar Pashup Shah. Aber, there's another kasha. Really, Yosef HaTzadik was mamish holy by doing the Aveir? Is that what you're supposed... Okay, if that's what the Pasuk says, that's what the Pasuk says. But Ruba the Ruba of Mefarshei HaTorah have a very hard time with that. And it's for that reason, if you look in Svarim, Befrat, Chassidus Svarim, it can't be that that's what's going on over here. One of the mahalchim that the Chassidus Sfarim say, the Chassidus Sharim, and the Sfasemes, the Chassam Sofer talks a little bit about this, and that is that we know there's two mahalchim in Avodas Hashem. It's a Gemara Masechtas Avodas Zarah. The Gemara says there were two Amiram, they were walking together, and they were trying to get to a certain place, and there were two paths they could take. One would have required them to pass a base Avodas Zarah, and the other one would have required them to pass a base Zoinus. And all of a sudden, a whole intellectual debate broke out. What's the better route to take? One held, it makes more sense to pass the base Avodas Zarah. Why? Because the Eibishter was already Mevatel the Yetzar of Avodas Zarah, so well, you have nothing to worry. You're going to see a bunch of Chevra bowing down to idols, you have nothing to worry about. But if you're going to go past the Beis Zoinus, you're setting yourself up potentially to do an Aveira. And the other said, I will just forget. Let's pass the Beis Zoinus. And if we're going to pass the Beis Zoinus, we're going to get Schar, because of course we're going to overcome a Yetzar. And this was a Shiloh. What's the better thing to do? If someone's holding on the Madrega, where he has the Barossi Torah Tavla, so what's the Richtige Zach to do? Says the Chiddush Erim that Yosef HaTzadik we know was Mesalsa B'Sairah. Why was he Mesalsa B'Sairah? We know if a person's Mesalsa B'Sairah, maybe he's asking for trouble. The Teretz says, because that was Yosef HaTzadik's Mahalach and Avodas Hashem. His Mahalach was, I'm going to put myself in the Matzah of Sakana, but I'm going to be Meskaber. I'm going to overcome my Yetz Nahara. So the Chiddush Erim said that Yosef HaTzadik, that was his Avodah. What did he do? Vayovei Abayiso Lasseis Malachtoi. Lasseis Malachtoi, meaning, not innocently, I'm just going to do my job. No, he knew exactly what he was walking into, but not to do the Aveir Chalila. But Faker, to be Meskaber on the Eitzahara, this is the epitome of passing the Bezoinus, and I'm going to get Schar for the fact that I'm passing the Bezoinus. What happened? All of a sudden, he saw it to Mustiuk Neshalaviv. So Chedush Arim said, Yaakov Avinu, the father of Yosef, he had a hold of him Mahalach. What was his Mahalach? He was an Ishtam. He was a Yosef Ahalim. He was Behalten of Beishem Ve'ever for 14 years. Yaakov Avinu's Mahalach was Faker. You pass the base of Eitzahara, you don't go near the Bezoinus. And that's when he was Pirish. Azai stayed bit Erich in the Chassidus Sfarim. That's the Mahalach of how the Olam tries to reconcile what the Man Da Amar and the Gemara meant when he said Vayove Abayis Lasis Malachtoi, that it means Lasis Tzrachet. But there's another Mahalach, and that's the more posh the Mahalach. And just to read it in a vein, because you can't say things like this unless you're reading it Befnim. And this is from Rabbi Yaakov Emden. I'm reading the Sefer Im Labina. Rabbi Yaakov Emden wrote as follows. He asks this kasha. He says, number one, he says, how did Chazal know that lasis melachtoi meant lasis tzrach? V'li nira, I hold that mehechrich achor bo Rabbi Yochanan l'dei midazu. Mishum daha vada yoda she'en ish bebayis. V'kfar noida loy gamkein she'nose einer eilo v'dibre eilo v'yoyim yoyim. Eichim kein im kol zenis yachadim im bebayis. So what was Eishes, what was Yosef HaTzadik thinking that he went back into the house? Now, certainly, that's where Bechon said it. The word malachtoi literally means, I hear, malachtoi mamish. But the story shries fakir. The story shries that if he was there, the ice mace is about to do an avir. Ach, chas v'sholom le'neschabnu razal le'dabar b'knusay shal tzadik. But Snez Rabbi Akdeni, you should know one thing. That when the Torah said this, and when Chazal pointed this out, they weren't trying to bring out the gnusa of the tzadik. Ela adarab. Lo hidiyenu shvachoi. Loimar, she'afal pi shabar bo yitzroi. Even though Yosef HaTzadik had the Yetzirah that was burning. Mikol mokoyim, kvar notzchoi, v'hiskaber olav, v'kovshoi b'toykiv koichoi. He taka had a burning Yetzirah. And he went to do the Aveira. The Torah is not embarrassed to say that that's where Yosef HaTzadik went. This is Rabbi Yaakov Emden talking, to do the Aveira. Ki yoytze boi matzinu gabi boyas, v'yilofes.
You find stories where you find great people were overcome by Yetzar of Arayas. What's the point in this?
And the reason they told us is to teach us that a person should never give up when it comes to fighting his Yetzirah. Because at the end of the day, if he tries hard enough, he will persevere. Vashem lo yazvenu biyodoi. And the Eibush is not going to let him go. Im yakum v'yisoyer kenegdoi. If he's going to put up a fight, Hashem ragle chasid of Yishmar. The Eibushter is going to make sure that he's protected. V'kol shekein shu shvach gadol b'yeser, zois lenar ben yud zayin. Yosef HaTzadik is 17 years old. V'gadol ben amitshim shtufei zimo. V'eshe zenunim mashtaltoi kol kach yoim yoim. Kamus chorei rav hatsofon loy b'shomrei b'skoydesh. The nishmar milached v'zeh kol ha'adam v'ein neder ha'tayva niskar al miyot havasa. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, v'yoveh abay solasis malachtoi. Pshad is pashi. He says the whole story shreis there. It has to be. That's what's going on here. But at the same time, it's not as gnus. To the contrary, it brings out greatness. That here he had an incredible yetzahara, and he was able to overcome his yetzahara. And the reason we're being told this story is not because we just need to know the rest of the story, because there's actually a tremendous limud. The limud is v'kivanu l'lamid l'adam shlo yisya'ish l'lamid b'mechemes yitzrei ha'misgabir olam ki yochol yuchaloi v'ashem lo yazvenu b'yadoi im yokum v'yisoyr kenegdoi Hashem rag b'chassid av yishmar. Emes is, everyone knows the Gemara. The Gemara mesachtes yuma daf lamid heyamid beis. The Gemara says hil mechayv es aniyim, Rav Elazar ben Charsum is mechayv the ashirim, and Yosef HaTzadik is Mechayev the Yefei Toya. We once spoke out from Yehuda Asad, who said that the Pasuk says, Rabbi is Machshava is Belev Ish, Vatzasa Hashem Hi Sokum. So he said, Rabbi is Machshava is Belev Ish. People have Machshavas, they think they're going to come up to Shamayim, they're going to start pulling out excuses. Yeah, what do you want? I had this problem, I had that problem, I had this Nisoyim, I had that Nisoyim. Rabbi is Machshava is Belev Ish, Oba Vatzasa Hashem Hi Sokum. He is Rosh HaTevis Hillel, Yosef HaTzadik, and Elazar ben Charsum. It's them three that's ultimately going to wipe out all the machshavas that we have. But Yosef HaTzadik is Mechay of the Yefei Toya. And the emesis, if you think about it, it's a pella. It's mamash a pella. It's a very hard Gemara to understand. Why? Because what happened with Yosef HaTzadik? Yosef HaTzadik was about to do the Aveira. Rabbi Yochanan, Shalacha Kemoyosai B'chol Makon, said he was mamash about to do the Aveira. What happened? He sees Dmus Yukna Shalavim. He sees his father by the Chaloyim. He starts telling him about the Eifoid, Ashtikal Taira, and Yosef HaTzadik got scared. And because of that, Mama, the whole Adri Yaakov is what saved him. How is that Mechayev of the Yefei Taira? Who is ever Zoicha to Azag Gilui like Yaakov Avinu that Dmus Yukna Shalavim all of a sudden appears to him at the Chaloyim? So, like this, he'll know not to do the Aveir. What's Pashup Shana in the Gemara? Oh, but the Teretz is Pashan. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Emden is saying. You have to be Medayik L'shoyne Yazav. You don't have to be Medayik so much. This is mamash what he's saying. What he's saying is the point of the story of Yosef HaTzadik is that a person has to try. You try your best. And at the end of the day, you should know Hashem lo yazvenu b'yadoi. Im yokum v'yisoyer kenegda Hashem rag l'chassid av yishmar. You want to know how it happened with Yosef HaTzadik? It was mus yukne shalavim. With someone else, it happened in another way. The point is you have to fight. And if you fight as hard as you could, you leave it all on the court, the Eibush is going to come and the Eibush is going to make sure that at the end of the day it's going to be Ragli Chassid Avish. It's Pashup Shat. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Emden is saying. He's being Miyashiv this Gemara in Yuma. Daf Lamed Heyom at Beis. Yosef Mechayiv Es Yefei Toyer. Because what Yosef HaTzadik taught the world is that a person should understand that if you fight, the Rambam brings Yosef HaTzadik in Halacha. In Hilchas Yisoydiyat, Kiminis Yosef Atzmei Meyeshes Rabbi. What does Yosef HaTzadik have to do with Halacha Lamaisa? It's a Mefurash Gemara. Yuma Lamed Hamid Beis. Yosef Mechayiv Es Yefei Toyer. That's why the Rambam's bringing it. Right? Why did Rambam bring Yosef HaTzadik? It's Pashut. But the Gemara says you're supposed to learn from Yosef. But how do you learn from Yosef? That's the limud from Yosef. The limud from Yosef HaTzadik is that a person has to try. And if a person tries, he's going to be Zoicha. You know, the Sfar Maktoshim say that Ruvain did an Aveira. Vayishkav Ruvain as Bila. Kala Oimer Ruvain Chata Enel Atayra Blazak Gadol. But Ruvain did an Aveira. Vayishkav Ruvain as Bila. How come Ruvain wasn't Zoicha that Must Yuknei Shalavav came to save Ruvain? I saw this in Das Naim Rotayr from the Lutzkira. Why wasn't Ruvain Zoicha to this? Why was Yosef? Ruvain was the Bechayr of Yaakov. How come Yaakov didn't appear to Ruvain the Must Yuknei Shalavav? So the Lutzkirov said a Dover Nifla. And we'll end with this. He said, because Yosef HaTzadik, the Pasuk says, every single day, Eishes Poitifar was mamish making him crazy. And b'chol yoyim v'yoyim, he fought. He fought and he fought and he fought. Until he came to the point that he couldn't fight anymore. He couldn't. He just couldn't anymore. 17 years old. He's living between the Mitzrim Shtufei Zima, the Eishes Zenune Mashdaltoi Kol Kach Yoyim Yoyim. He couldn't. Actually, Nishke can't. A person who fights and fights and fights, he gets to the point he can't fight anymore, the Eibishter comes. His father comes, Ragli Chassid of Yishmar, Hashem lo yazvenu b'yodeh. By Reuven, you don't find that he fought. Vayishkov Reuven is built, and that's why he wasn't Zoicha to the Mustiuk Neshalavim. That's this Inyan, this is the Inyan of Yosef HaTzadik, Mechayiv Esnefei Toyer, the Schaivas is a person just has to fight. And at the end of the Avada, and Chanami, it's taka hard, and nobody can finish the job. And obviously, we need the Siyata Deshmai, but the Siyata Deshmai comes by a person fighting, and if a person does that, he's zoicha to kedoshim tiyu. And like Darach Chaim HaKadosh says, this ain hadroga b'Yisrael, that's nimnas from this inyan of kedoshim tiyu. And we'll stop here.